Well, good morning and welcome to church today. We're excited that each and every one of you is here to worship God and to celebrate with us. We're in week two of a five-part series on creation. If you remember, last week we talked about planting. We talked about the seeds that we sow and how that they can not only grow, but how they can result in spreading seeds to other places that we couldn't even imagine. Well, this week, in week two of our creation series, we're talking about mountains. And the psalm I'm about to read is a psalm of ascent. And you'll get that flavor as I read it in a moment, as we open God's word. A reading from Psalm 125. Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be shaken, but endures forever. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people, both now and forevermore. The scepter of the wicked will not remain over the land allotted to the righteous, for then the righteous might use their hands to do evil. Lord, do good to those who do good, to those who are upright in heart. But to those who turn to crooked ways, the Lord will banish with the evildoers. Peace be on Israel. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, this is a day where in worship we have acknowledged our grandparents. And I want to start this morning with a story that I vividly remember from my childhood that involves one of my grandparents. When I was a kid, probably about, say, 4 or 5 years old, one of the things that stands out in my mind and that I remember very vividly is I remember the movie The Wizard of Oz, the colorized version of The Wizard of Oz. And you know what? That movie, when I was a kid, that movie absolutely terrified me. As a matter of fact, I don't remember anything terrifying me more from my childhood than the movie The Wizard of Oz. And it isn't what you're thinking. So The Wizard of Oz, yes, we had the Tin Man, we had the Lion, right? And we had the Oz and Dorothy and Toto and all that. And it wasn't the Wicked Witch of the West that terrified me so much, or anything that you might imagine. It was actually what happened at the beginning of the movie. And what happened at the beginning of the movie was what? It was a tornado. And so here we have Dorothy, and she's in Kansas, and she's minding her own business with her family, and she's being a kid, and out of nowhere comes this tornado, and she gets caught up in the tornado with her little dog, Toto, and they're swept off to this magical land called Oz. And that freaked me out. Never before in my young mind was I aware that such a thing could happen, where something could literally swoop down from the sky and destroy stuff and potentially carry me away from my family. And it absolutely terrorized me. And as little kids often do, I internalized that fear for a while, until one day I was at my grandmother's house. And when I was growing up, I spent quite a bit of time at my grandmother's house on the weekends. And finally, I couldn't hold it in anymore. And so what I did is I just came, kind of blurted it out to my grandmother. And I said, "Grandmother, I'm so afraid of tornadoes. I'm afraid one's going to come along and it's going to carry me away somewhere and I'll never see any of you again." And she smiled and she looked down at me and she said, "Come outside for a moment." And so we went outside. And she said, "Look around," and I did. And she said, "What do you see?" And I said, "Well, I see mountains." And she said, "You're right. She said, we live in a place where we don't have a lot of tornadoes because of the mountains that you see. And I felt better. And she was right. Mountains do protect us where we're fortunate to live in the world. Meteorologists say it's the orientation of the Appalachian ridgelines from southwest to northeast. And what that does is it tends to trap cooler air and more stable air in our atmosphere. And it's the air, not so much the mountains themselves, but the air that gets trapped there that largely protects us from tornadoes. Not always, but more so than in other places. Verse 2 of the psalm I read a moment ago says, as the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people, both now and forevermore. Both now and forevermore. Verse 1 said, those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion. Okay? Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion. And let's unpack that for a moment. Now, if you do your homework, and I know you're going to go home this afternoon and you're going to do your homework, right, on Mount Zion. If you go and you do your homework on Mount Zion, one of the things you're going to quickly figure out is that Mount Zion is not the tallest mountain around in the Holy Land. To its east lies the Mount of Olives. To the north is Mount Scopus. To the west and south are hills and mountains, all taller than Mount Zion. But you see, what happens is that here's Mount Zion. Around it are all these taller mountains and hills. What happens is that the taller mountains and hills, they provide a fortification for Mount Zion and a protection. And it's for that reason that Mount Zion has become, both in Scripture and in reality, a symbol of security. Now, God likes to do business on mountains. There's Mount Ararat. Noah and the ark landed there after the flood. Noah saw the rainbow of God's promise on that mountain. When the people came off the ark, they praised God on that mountain. And on that mountain, God made a covenant never to destroy the earth again. God provided Abraham a sacrifice instead of his son on a mountain. God gave the Ten Commandments to Moses on a mountain. God gave Moses a glimpse of the promised land on a mountain. It was on Mount Carmel that the great prophet Elijah proved to the people that his God was the one true God. It was on a mountain that Jesus was transfigured and showed the glory of God to two of his disciples. And when Jesus was struggling with the terrible task before him of the cross, he went to the Mount of Olives to pray. And finally, in Revelation, at the end of the Bible, the Lamb of God stands where? The Lamb of God stands on Mount Zion and shows us the ultimate destination for those who are faithful. The Lamb stands on Mount Zion. The place of protection, the place of fortification, the place where no one or nothing can pluck us from our Savior's hand. on a mountain. Mountains can be powerful places. That's probably why sometimes when we have great epiphanies in life or experiences, we refer to them as mountaintop experiences. They're powerful places. It's sometimes as if a mountain can serve as a bridge between heaven and earth, a halfway point where God meets us. So the question for you and for me this morning is, does God Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, creator of all that is, does God Almighty want to meet with you? Does God have a reason to meet with you? And the answer to that question is yes. One of the things we learned in last week's sermon when we began this series on creation is that you and I were all part of creation. And that every living thing was created for a purpose. And that purpose was unique to each and every one of you. And that we're called in that purpose and to live into that purpose and to bloom where we're planted. And I want you to hear that very clearly today. I want you to hear that you have been created for a purpose. And God wants to meet with you. God wants to partner with you. God wants to equip you. God wants to raise you up into that purpose. Life does have a meaning. You're not here by random happenstance. And if you believe that's true, if you believe the words I just said, you have to believe this. Don't waste your life. If you're really here for a purpose, and you're not living into that purpose, then you're wasting your life. God has a plan for you, and it's important, and it's marvelous. But one thing you have to do is you have to have the courage and the faith to begin. Somebody said one time, how do you eat an elephant? And the answer is, does anybody know? One bite at a time. That's how you eat an elephant. God's here to help us. Staying with our mountain analogy for a moment, you can't get to the top of a mountain without taking the first step. And the first step is what we call faith. The Bible says faith is the substance of things unseen. It's something that we have deep within us. And you know, there's something about faith, because faith can seem like such a big concept, doesn't it? The thing about faith is, a little faith goes a long way. A little faith goes a long way. The Bible says, if you just have the faith of a tiny little mustard seed, you can say to that mountain, mountain, move, and the mountain will move. Now, when I was a kid, back in my Wizard of Oz days, I remember hearing that scripture in Sunday school. And I remember thinking, huh, you know, I could just zoop. I could say mountain move and it will lift up and it will move from place to place. And maybe that happens sometimes, but the way I think it really happens for you and I, what I get out of that isn't so much the mountain physically moving as it is us moving the mountain. How does that work? Well, as you begin to understand that little passion or that purpose that you have inside of you, that God has planted there, what you do is you begin to pray. Okay, you begin to pray, and you pray some more, and you pray, God, reveal my purpose to me, reveal your plan for me, reveal what you have for me, and you pray, and you ask God to ignite that in your heart, and you continue to pray, and you continue to pray, and what happens, as my friend Robert likes to say, one day you go to the front door of your house, and you open the front door, and out on your front porch, you find a wheelbarrow and a shovel. And you go to the mountain and you begin filling the wheelbarrow with your one little shovel and you take it to the place that it's supposed to go and you keep on and every day you're doing that and you begin to think to yourself, you know, in my whole lifetime I'm not gonna move 10% of this mountain. But you keep going until one day there's a knock at your door and it's your neighbor. And your neighbor says, what are you doing? And you said, I'm trying to move that mountain. And your neighbor says, I've got the day off today and I have a wheelbarrow and I have a shovel. Let me help you move that mountain. And so then your neighbor comes beside you with his wheelbarrow and his shovel. And he begins filling up his wheelbarrow and his and with his shovel, and you begin filling up your wheelbarrow, and together you begin moving that mountain to the place it's supposed to go, and you keep doing it until another day, there's another knock at your door, and it's another neighbor. The neighbor says, what are you trying to do? And you say, we're trying to move a mountain. And he says, you can't move a mountain that way. I've got some trucks and I've got some bulldozers. Let me help you move that mountain. And then all of a sudden what begins to happen is the efforts come together and they combine and God equips you and God blesses you and God gives you what you need to move the mountain. And it happens just like that. That's how a little bit of faith can go a long way when we're obedient and we're faithful and we're prayerful and we ask God, what mountain is it I have to move? Where do I need to climb? What do I need to do to serve you and to live into my purpose? Now, you have to have the faith to take the first step. And the second thing is you have to realize that you're going to face resistance. Scripture talked about the scepter of the wicked. And truthfully, sometimes in life, it can seem like you're taking one wheelbarrow forward and two wheelbarrows back, doesn't it? As you're trying to move that mountain. There is resistance. And that's why we need the protection of God to begin with. It's because of the resistance. So as we're out there laboring and we're trying to move our mountain, and it's hard and it's tough and it's heavy, God's there. God's protecting us. Just like those mountains are fortifying Mount Zion, God's protecting you. He's going before you. But you got to keep moving. You got to keep moving. Now, there's another story in the Bible. And so Jesus has been teaching, and he tells his disciples to go on ahead, and they're going to cross a lake, and in a boat, and he's going to dismiss the people, and after he does that, where does he go? He goes up on a mountain. He goes up on a mountain to pray, and early the next morning, the disciples are out there in that boat, and it's kind of foggy, and they start to see Jesus coming toward them, and he's walking on the water, and they're terrified. They think it's a ghost. And there's one disciple, Peter. Peter sees him out in the distance, and Peter says, Lord, if it's you, call me to come to you so I can walk on the water too. And so what Peter does is Peter musters the courage to take the first step, and he steps out of the boat, and he begins to walk toward Jesus on the water. And it's happening. But he loses his courage. It's a little tough. It gets a little overwhelming. He loses his courage, and he takes his eyes off of Jesus, and he begins to sink. Luckily, Praise God, that's not the end of the story. For what happens is Jesus comes along and Jesus grabs Peter by the arm and Jesus pulls Peter back up and he rescues him from that situation. And that's the way it works. We take our eyes off of Jesus. We forget that we're protected. But God's still there, even as our faith fails. God's still there. Every day, every moment of your life. The Bible says, if God is for us, who can be against us? And God is for you. All you have to do is have the courage to take the first step. Begin moving that mountain, whatever it is. And I promise you that the Creator of the universe will partner with you to perform something marvelous. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.